Morning, church. We have another opportunity to build a better relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My prayers are that we take full advantage of that wonderful opportunity. To those who are visiting at 10th Street Church of Christ, we're encouraged by your presence, and we pray that we can reciprocate the same encouragement. Our scripture reading was Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And it reads, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lived in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. Paul makes that statement based on him having a willing mind to die for the cause of Christ. Apostle Paul understood sin dies with Christ. Sin was dead to him. And his mindset, he's saying the same thing. He wants sin to be dead to him as well. He had to have a willing spiritual mind to not allow sin to separate him from the love of God. Apostle Paul made that statement because he had his spiritual life. Christ was dwelling inside of him. See, when we become a Christian in the Lord's church, Church of Christ, we are reconciled back to Jesus Christ, meaning Christ should be in us. When we claim to be crucified with Christ. See, I believe that Apostle Paul made that statement. He is crucified with Christ because he had a picture of Jesus Christ on the frame in his mind. Because he believed and he saw the holiness in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Jesus that was beaten. The Jesus that was spit on. The Jesus that was stabbed. The Jesus that was punished and ridiculed, abused physically, emotionally, and physically, rejected by the people who he loved, the people who he tried to save. Oh, I believe that Pastor Paul had a picture of Jesus framed in his mind that he can recognize, church. He can understand, he witnessed. That Father God, that Jesus Christ himself forgave and loved his enemies, forgave his enemies. In Luke chapter 23 and 24, I believe that Apostle Paul had a picture of Jesus framed in his mind, because he's seen the true character of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can you see Jesus? Can you see Jesus? See, I believe that Apostle Paul had a picture of Jesus framed in his mind that he saw that Jesus never rebelled against his Father, not one sin. I believe that Apostle Paul had Jesus framed in his mind that he dealt with the unfairness of the world without sinning. Oh, I believe that Jesus, Apostle Paul, had a picture of Jesus framed in his mind. He watched and noticed that Jesus had made a commitment to Father God, his whole spiritual life, and a commitment to us. Oh, can you see Jesus? Oh, I believe that Jesus, that Apostle Paul, had a picture framed in his mind. That Jesus on that cross, that he saw that Jesus was never intimidated by the world. He didn't allow the world to take away his spiritual course. No intimidation at all. Oh, I believe that Apostle Paul saw Jesus on that cross and in a frame in his mind that he didn't allow his emotions and his feelings to stand in the way of a spiritual mission. Can you see Jesus? Oh, I believe that Jesus, that Apostle Paul had a picture framed in his mind that he made God the most important thing in his life. Can we see Jesus? Oh, I believe that Apostle Paul had a picture of Jesus framed in his mind. That he prayed and he loved his enemies. I believe that Apostle Paul had a picture framed in his mind. He had the spiritual discipline to go through the worst crucifixion that man ever seen. What I'm trying to say, he was crucified for us. The question of the day: are we really crucified with Christ? See, many of us, including myself, like to think we are. I like to think that I'm crucified with Christ. Today, we're going to find out if we are or we not. See, our objective of lesson is to be crucified with Christ. You must exhibit a spiritual behavior each day of our lives. In that same chapter, same epistle, Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, he said, "Then I say, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So he's saying, understanding that walking in the spirit of God and being crucified with Christ go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. You see, therefore, God has commanded us. He has commanded us to display those beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. To become the salt of the earth in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. To let our light shine, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. To love our enemies, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. To forgive one another, forgive those that hurt us. 70 times 7, Matthew 18, chapter 20, verse 22, to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. He's talking about Christians ought to be unified as one. John chapter 17, verse 11. He's telling the brothers and sisters that we have to have display the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. He tells us, church, that we need to know that God has vengeance. Vengeance is God. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. He tells us that we need to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. He tells us that we need to have the armor of God on. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. He tells us we need to grow in grace. 2 Peter 3 and 18. He tells us that we need to be slow. And when we speak, and slow in our wrath, slow in anger. James chapter 1, verse 20 and 19. So those kind of scriptures, those kind of things, and even more, when you crucify with Christ, that we need to have. And we need to display. We have to let our light shine when you crucify with Christ. Second objective. This is the second objective. When we're crucified with Christ, we will learn to blame and not blame an opportunity to love. Today, we're going to fill out in blanks. We're going to fill in the blanks. And I got a time frame here. Brother Brian Anderson is watching me. As we navigate through life, this world, trying to be crucified with Christ and trying to walk in the Spirit, we're going to be confronted with all kinds of issues and trouble that comes our way. But it's critical that we have a picture of Jesus framed in our minds. So the title of my lesson is Scars of Life. I have a picture of 911. Many of us can remember that day. I remember the location that day, the things that I was trying to accomplish. That day changed the United States for good. I can remember the sadness that I had, that I felt, and I seen others that had the same sadness in what they felt. Now, changing the subject here, when I view my body, I can remember and identify all the scars that's on my body since the age of 5. I know we have some over here over 7 years old. They probably still can remember some of the scars that they endured. We're talking about people over 7 years old still can remember those scars. See, some of us can remember those scars that we'll never forget. We can remember some of them scars in our life, especially when someone offended us that we never trust, that we trust, that we trust. Some of us can remember those scars in our life that reconstructed the way we think. Some of us can remember those scars that caused grief in our life. Some of us can remember those scars that impaired us, that we can no longer do the things that we used to do. Some of us can remember those scars. The person we love was a victim to. Some of us can remember those scars because it did not encourage us, but it damaged our spirit. We're talking about forgive. See, when we claim to be crucified with Christ, we should have the ability to forgive. Have you forgiven those who hurt and cause pain in your lives? It's strange to God when members of the body of Christ cannot find love for one another, to forgive each other. Especially when we know and recognize that we have a great physician in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Luke chapter 8, verse 47, 48. Jesus commands us. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, he said, "For if you forgive men that trespass against your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Christ has informed us to forgive those. Forgive those who hurt us. Lay aside those things that were done and have mercy on each other. It's time for us Christians to put Jesus, that picture of Jesus, on the frame in our mind, especially if we call ourselves crucified with Christ. See, the body of this lesson is from the book of Philemon, who was a slave owner. And Paul writes Philemon concerning a runaway slave named Onesimus, who became Christian and Paul's friend. Though through God's word, Apostle Paul tried to persuade Onesimus to go back to his master Philemon. This letter Apostle Paul wrote is to encourage Philemon to forgive Onesimus, not as a slave, but as a Christian brother. Each brother had a challenge. He had a challenge of being crucified with Christ. Each of them. Onesimus had to go back to slavery. Think about that. Go back to slavery. Think that for a moment. We're talking about going back to racism, going back to being abused, going back to being a property of someone, going back to being discouraged, having discouragement, going back to being hatred, when hatred treated as a child, work all day. I can't get 8 hours into myself. You got to have a picture frame in mind. You got to have Jesus on your mind. Jesus got to be on your mind to go back to that. In the same token, Philemon had to accept a runaway slave that put some hurt on him. That hurt him. That may have stole from him. That may have influenced other people to do wrong. To embarrass him. The pain that he caused for Philemon. The wrong he thought that Onesimus had done to him. The troublesome. So all they both had a challenge. They both had a challenge. So now let's read the body of the, let's go to the body of the lesson. Let's start with 10 of thy love and faith, Paul talking to him, which thou had towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. Paul saying you have, Philemon, a great reputation at being crucified with Jesus. He pinpointed what? 3 characteristics that Onesimus had. First, when he said what? He said he had faith in Jesus. Oh, we got to have that faith in Jesus. The second one, he said he loved Jesus. And the third one, he says, love for Christians. This should be the playbook for all of us as Christians. And I have those 3 virtues. Love Jesus. Love God and love Christians. Come on. Then he goes on. In 6, he says, and that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Effectual. The Greek word means energous. Continue to produce the operative energy. That means some deep down energy to do the cause for the cause of Christ. That's what Philemon was displaying. And Paul noticed. As Christians, when we display that type of energy, everyone's going to notice. We're going to be that. That's why we're going to be that salt of the earth. The people start noticing that. That's when you displaying your crucified with Christ. But keep going. Let's go. Come on. He said, for we have a great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee and brother. You see, Paul was saying all that spiritual work that Philemon done, it was joy to him. It was, he said, in the bowels. It was deep down in his bowels, in his body, that he could see. He said, when he said refreshed, it made his soul at ease. Made him feel great. Feel good when you see brothers doing the Lord's work. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, say, well, comfort yourself. Edify one another. That's what we're supposed to do when we crucify with Christ. Let's keep going. He said, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to join thee, that which is convenient, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such as one as Paul the age, and now also prisoner of Jesus Christ. See, Paul had the authority as apostle to tell, to command or demand certain things that he wanted to done in the church. But he came Philemon with some brotherly love. He didn't come requesting, demanding. He came knowing with some humility towards it in his letter. He's esteeming Philemon. Give him high regards and high respect because he respected his brother. The Bible tells in Romans chapter 12 and 10, he says what? Be kind and affectionate to one another with some brotherly love. That's how we're supposed to engage in one another. Goes on to say, now he set him up. Now beseech thee, my son Onesimus, who I begot in my bond, which in time past was to be unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, who I sent again. Thou therefore receive him that is my own bowels. See, Paul had challenged him. Paul gave him a challenge now. Accept Onesimus. See, the only way he can accept Onesimus is to have the picture of Jesus framed in his mind. The reason Onesimus can go back as a slave, he had to have that picture of Jesus framed in his mind. See, Paul was letting them know. He said to Philemon know that he's transformed. He's not that new man. He's not that old man no more. He's not conformed to the world. He's been renewed. Romans 12 and 2, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. He's a new man now. He got a new spirit, a new attitude. As we finish this part of the body left, let's recap real quick. And we'll get our last word. Philemon had a great reputation. He had a great reputation. That's what Paul says. That's what the Bible says. He was affectuous. He gave the other Christians joy. Paul esteemed him for that. He challenged Philemon to what? Accept Onesimus back. And himself and Onesimus had to go back as a slave. That was a challenge of both men. Because Onesimus was transformed. Philemon had to be transformed as well. That word is reject. Philemon and Onesimus had to understand rejecting is not part of it. The rejecting God's word is not part of the equation. You're either going to do exactly what God commanded us to do. You can't do some of it. You got to do all of it. God told them to, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14 and 15, tell them to what? Forgive one another. He tell them in Matthew chapter 18, verse 22, forgive not just 7 times, but 70 times 70. Now, the Bible doesn't confirm whether Onesimus and went back or Philemon accepted him. It doesn't say. So I'm not going to even say they did or not. But the question is, it goes back to us now. See, we're going to apply the scriptures to our lives. Someone may have done something, one of these sins or something to us. Robbed, lied, deceived, neglect. Had a big argument with adultery or accusation, pain, envy, gossip, insulted, whatever it is. We cannot allow that picture to overcome the picture of Jesus framed in our mind, especially if we call ourselves crucified with Christ. Especially if we call ourselves crucified with Christ. See, that Bible tells us. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor power, nor present, things present to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing should be able to separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Not one of those. Not one of those things. Put that picture of Jesus in our mind. We leave here today. We just completed that. When we are crucified with Christ, we will learn to forgive and not reject an opportunity to love. We all have an opportunity to love one another. You have an opportunity to forgive those that hurt you. You have an opportunity. Because if you're in sin today, if you're in sin right now, God will not reject you. All you have to do is come back. Come here right now and then we'll baptize you today. I know Brian will. That suit, the only one that can fit him. This is your opportunity. If you're a Christian, you haven't forgiven the person. This is time to forgive that person and move past. Because it only takes one sin to stop you from preventing you from getting to heaven. Like if you're here today and you want to be a child of God, you got to hear the word of God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard that, they were pricked to their hearts how they crucified the Savior, the Jesus, the death, burial, and Paul preaching the death, the burial, resurrection. You see, God did his part. God did his part. He sent his son. Jesus bled on the cross for us. The Spirit was filled. And it's up to you and I to hear the word of God. You heard it today. You got to believe. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? You got to repent. The Bible tells in Luke 13:3, I tell you, Nathan, if you repent, you shall likewise perish. You got to confess the sweetest name in the Bible, that's Jesus Christ. The Bible tells in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, whosoever therefore confesses me before man, and will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. And you got to be baptized for the remission of sins, and we'll baptize you today. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, many of you have been baptized in Christ, has put on Christ. I'm asking you to come and we sing this song. Will you come today? Will you come?